It's 88.5 KCSN. I'm Sky Daniels, and we are joined here by members of the KCSN family. We like to think, yeah. Welcome to the Bengals.
Yay. Thank you so much for having us.
Woohoo.
It's funny how the second I saw this event, which is going to be happening on Friday night at the Fonda Theater, which is the Paisley Underground revival, I guess we could say, and it's a benefit for education through Music Los Angeles.
Nice.
I started pursuing finding you guys right away to say, we have to have you come in and talk about it because we thought it was such a great idea. How did the idea for the concert itself come to be?
Well, it's something that we've kind of been thinking in the back of our minds for a long time, but it all sort of converged in a very natural way. First of all, the Dream Syndicate and the 3 O'Clock, two of the major Paisley Underground bands, have resurfaced this year, have reunited, been playing, you know, in all over, including the Europe for the Dream Syndicate. And Debbie and I were involved in a benefit recently for autism, and the 3 O'Clock were also participating in that. So just singing with, you know, with them and seeing them play again and talking to Danny Bonnier and Michael Corsio especially, we just said, we have got to play together. We've got to do this. This is just silly. And it seemed the perfect time, and it all kind of fell together, and then the Rain Parade jumped in. They were able to do it, and it just seemed like it was a meant to be.
It was about time. Thirtel happened.
And the idea of having it be a benefit for education through music, Los Angeles, how did that connection get made?
That was through Lewis from the 3 O'Clock, I believe.
Correct. Lewis Gutierrez is very involved in that. We're the organization, another one of the great opportunities for kids in schools to have access to music, which unfortunately doesn't happen often enough for anybody's desires. Yeah. It was one of Lewis's favorite charities that he's been involved with. So he kind of brought it to us and said, let's make the LA show a benefit. And we were all for it.
And it's clearly something that both formally and informally KCSN is, you know, part of being here on CSUN. It's part of our mission.
You know,
absolutely.
It is part of our mission.
And you do it
in
well.
Reality. So that's something that all these things added up to a no-brainer for us to want to support and get behind. I believe it was Michael that first, or at least gets the credit for, and now we'll get the real story, perhaps, of just blurting out the term once when I think he was seeing the peer group record. Am I remembering this properly?
The Paisley Underground name, that he gave it the name. Yeah. I believe he did give it the name. I think that's lore that is true.
That we all sign off on that one.
Yeah.
It definitely, I believe the utterance was Michael's. And if it wasn't, he's the first one to sort of embrace it and advertise it.
Yeah.
And then it came up in an interview in LA Weekly, right?
Yes.
Something like that. But it was definitely a scene. We're very grateful and lucky that we actually were part of a honest-to-goodness scene in LA that we were part of creating in a sense. There was these people around town who had this obsession with 60s music, and we were wearing that influence on our sleeves, and we found each other. We actually found each other, and we spent a lot of time together.
We did.
We dated each other. We went on a camping trip.
To
the only camping trip I've ever been on back in the 80s.
Susanna in a tent.
Susanna in a sleeping
bag.
Didn't
happen very often.
Say
it was
with
in a tent.
But no. So this is really a reunion. True reunion. But yeah, so it was a scene, and I remember driving around in vans, going to shows, and sitting with Mike Quercio, and he would make these incredible mixtapes for me. I know I have them in a box somewhere. And he turned me on to so much cool music, like really early Jefferson Airplane and just early Left Bank, obscure Left Bank stuff. And I mean, he was like this curator of cool for a kid who was younger than us,
right.
So he was really young.
He was really great.
He was like a little teenager, you know.
And Steve Wynn was my housemate for a while. I mean, this was a very close group of people. I mean, and talk about record collections. He had his record collections so well organized. His vinyl, all alphabetical, probably thematic as well. And he gave me firm instructions one time, because I slept on the couch at the house. I couldn't afford a room in the house yet. So I was on the couch. But he was out for a tour, and so I got to take over his room for a few weeks. And he said, go ahead and play my records, but make sure that you pull out the album to note exactly where it was so that you replace it exactly where it was.
I wow, totally like understand
okay, thank
that
you, Steve.
Mindset.
I'll do that.
So, what would you like to play today? What should we start with?
Just to remain thematic about this, why don't we start with the very first Bangs 45, which, to my knowledge, although I might be wrong, has not appeared in any digital form. This is Getting Out of Hand.
Talk about the scene, which I arrived in L.A. just on the tail end in 85. I got here where a lot of the bands were coming to be, and that scene was, at its peak. Where were the places?
Where I
remember
we
the
Café de Grand, the Whiskey,
Music
Club
Machine,
88.
Club 88.
Music Machine.
The Music Machine?
I remember that.
Club 88,
that
was another big one. We were just joking about that. We've had an amazing email exchange over the last couple of months to put this show together, and we're joking about, hey, three nights at the Music Machine. Come on, people, we can do this.
But you have to remember, the thing that we forget, because I don't know why, is there was no internet then.
Right.
There were no cell phones. So a kid like Mike Quercio from the South Bay area curating this or having this knowledge, I mean, it wasn't easy to get your hands on this music. You
Definitely
had to go to
not.
Record
you
stores
went to
and
record
you had
stores.
To like
yeah.
dig around in dusty
bins
and
Serious
find
research
vinyl. And
days.
Then these mixtapes were like Wikipedia pages that before Wikipedia was even a notion in anyone's head. You know what I mean? Like it bonded us.
And it was, I was about to say, those, I remember that those gatherings amongst friends, they would be communal. You would say, I have the, I'm going to bring it over and yeah. we're going to listen to it together.
Right.
And it very much was a communal experience, let alone the sharing of mixtapes.
Right.
Hey, could you dub one off for me too?
Early file
absolutely.
Sharing,
yeah.
right there.
But it was one-to-one. And I think there is a little
was.
Bit
it's
of difference.
Yeah, yeah. It was personal, exactly.
How about another one from the Bangles repertoire that you feel really, underscores the Paisley Underground time and memories?
There's a song on our EP that for some reason a lot of people just kept requesting in later years, and we stopped playing it years and years and years ago. And
it's our Georgie Girl.
Exactly.
It was our Georgie Girl.
It was inspired by Georgie Girl. And we wanted to write a sort of an inspirational song to a fictional young lady. And,
that are also writing a little note to ourselves, We all have a little Georgie Girl inside us, And we all need to be fancy-free sometimes. So that Mary Street was our Georgie Girl. We just invented her.
The bands started up pretty much individually, right?
Right, and
yeah,
we all
from
did.
All areas.
What was interesting when I think about the 3 o'clock, the Dream Syndicate, Green on Red, the Rain Parade, the Bangles, we all really admired each other deeply,
absolutely.
Everybody did something slightly different. Mm-hmm. Like the Bangles, our thing was this mamas and papas, but there were no papas. The mamas and the mamas, the harmony thing with the 12-string guitars and the pop. The Dream Syndicate were like the new Velvet Underground to
right.
me.
Yeah.
They had it. They had that. They did it. It was real. And that was this sort of spontaneous jams. And we like worshiped
that. They had some roots.
That.
They began to acquire some roots.
Yeah, and the Salvation Army slash they became the 3 o'clock were like, punk merged with Jefferson Airplane and
Sandels.
I wanted to be Mike. And maybe he wanted to be me. I don't know. We admired
twins.
We were both short and dark haired and olive complected, and we sort of merged identities.
Separated
I look at the old shows true. That we did, and I'm imitating him. It's so funny to me now. So this is going to be so special seeing him after all these years, you know?
You mentioned Michael. I think the Genesis, when they were here, when they talked about reuniting for Coachella, I think the Genesis of that reunion happened because he was in a record store, and Paul Tillett saw him in a record store.
You're kidding.
And it goes back to your point of how record stores were a big part of your camaraderie, hanging in record stores, discovering music. So when I heard that story, that's how the reunion and the invitation to play Coachella, and I went,
how perfect is that?
That those two true believers, you know, ran into each other in a record store, and Paul had the idea of, hey, how about you guys reunite for Coachella?
Yeah, hello.
But we would actually write songs inspired by, say, the Dream Syndicate. We wrote Hero Takes a Fall, and they were in our minds when we wrote it. And we would do certain songs and certain covers inspired by the stuff that the 3 o'clock was doing.
Yeah, I think we were definitely inspired by each other, or at least the Bangles were inspired by
each other.
For sure.
Do you guys want to go on to one of the other bands?
How about the 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
Her Head's Revolving. I remember hearing that. I think it was even going back to when they were the Salvation Army.
I think so. I think that one.
And this is true psychedelic pop, 3 o'clock style. There was only one label, major label in the entire universe that actually wanted the Bangles, and it was kind of, it wasn't like there was a bidding war for the Bangles. There was one guy at one label who had to convince a lot of other people, and that was Columbia Records. So, but yeah, it wasn't like it wasn't like we went on American Idol and the next day we were famous, you know. We were definitely a workhorse band that played and clubs and toured with the English Beat and Cyndi Lauper. Well, was Cyndi Lauper before? Well, that we might have been on Columbia then.
No,
but yeah, no, I mean, we were a hardworking band.
And you were just a like band of women.
Yes.
I don't think that the gender issue is as relevant today. You know, I think my sense is that doesn't really have the kind of impact or, you know, the way that it was sometimes categorized. Mm-hmm. But you guys were women, and it was still, you know, with the Runaways and the Go-Go's and you, it was a nascent idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be, well, we had it in the 60s with the girl groups.
Yeah.
It was a different thing because you came up in an era where punk was happening and metal was happening and, you know, you had to probably deal.
Very masculine.
Yeah. Did you have to deal with some machismo in this scene or not?
For sure.
I don't think.
Or was this scene a sort of an oasis from that?
It was. It was definitely.
Absolutely was.
That's an interesting point. It was definitely an oasis for us.
And in a way, because this is what launched us in Los Angeles, coming out of this scene where we're performing, you know, as many nights of the week we could with our friends and bands, and most of them were men, Kendra Smith being the bass player of the Dream Syndicate at the time, but, you know, they're pretty much everybody else were men that we were playing with and hanging out with, but it was just this wonderful, warm environment of support and fun and music and noise and sweat and, you know, all this great stuff. And then we went out on the road And started touring sort of incessantly. And in those early days, it was with, like, the English Beat was our first big tour. And we were in a van, and there were five girls and one guy in a van in, you know, two hotel rooms. Five girls were in one hotel room. The guy got his own room.
What?
Of course.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and then we were playing for punk rock crowds or crowds who came to a show thinking that they were supposed to be punk rock and thinking, oh, you know, it's punk rock. I'm going to spit at the band. You know, it's really great. So we had some really interesting experiences those first couple of years and things having nothing to do with that beautiful, warm, lovely, psychedelic movement we had just left behind at home.
And I don't think anybody in any of the Paisley Underground bands ever said to us, hey, you guys play pretty good for chicks.
Yeah, pretty good for girls.
Which is a common...
Yeah.
There's a lot of that
show
going
your
around.
Beep.
Yeah.
What's next? What do you guys think should be intro'd next?
Oh, how about something from the Dream Syndicate?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. My old roommate. When You Smile is a song off one of the early Dream Syndicate records, and it's just something that I've always loved.
Me too.
Dream Syndicate on 88.5 KCSN. We've talked about these bands that are going to appear, and just so we make sure that everyone knows for the show's purposes, you know, it is the Bangles, it is the 3 o'clock, it is the Dream Syndicate, and it is the Rain Parade. Steve Wynn comes by on occasion. Good egg.
He should.
Good
egg. Really, he's a great guy.
He comes by a lot, and he comes by a lot on Sundays because obviously he's such a roots and Americana directed singer-songwriter now, and he knows this is one of his homes. We've had the 3 o'clock. We haven't had the Rain Parade, and I think we're going to have to work on getting them in here because then we will have just about everybody.
Well, I'll see him out tonight. I'll let him know.
Yes, you should.
He needs to come by.
You know, for us, it is part of what KCSN does, as you guys know, is it's all about what's new and what's happening, and it's also respecting great legacies and caring about them. And so we like to, especially on the local level, always be tied to and carrying on, you know, and it's much like the purpose of this show, you know, it just sitting here and talking to you, you know, the spirit is very evident, and my own sense of, that scene, yeah.
Groovy,
now I'm
man.
Getting geeked. I'm getting geeked up about it.
Yeah, there you go. Good. That's what we want to hear.
Well, and it's for, you know, again, and it's also for a great cause.
Absolutely. That's for sure.
So this just seems like such a must for a Friday night. Now you're also doing it in
the legendary
night before.
Fillmore Auditorium.
So you're going to go up there and you'll get the firsthand vibe, and then by the time you get down here, You're gonna know exactly what you need to do every moment of the, or is it? I'm assuming
or not.
I'm kidding myself. Is it? It's still pretty much gonna.
We're still trying to go on muscle memory here with
of
these songs.
Yeah,
it's a weird it's a weird mindset.
It really is.
If you start thinking about what you're doing, it all falls apart.
What do you guys think should be intro'd next?
Oh, Back to Us. Here we go. Another song from the EP. I'm in Line. It's kind of a quintessential sort of Beatley, you know,
revolver
kind of time, with a little bit of sort of the Jam as well in there.
I don't want to wait in line for you.
I would assume for the purposes of this show, and you don't need to reveal your set list, but I would assume, and even in our conversations of some of the things you brought to play today, that you are looking at and thinking about landmarks in your own, you know, development through this scene, right? Songs that mattered, songs that you started to feel part of that scene.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So are you going to be playing some of these songs that maybe you hadn't played for a while?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we kind of made a little rule, like, let's try to play only things that we at least knew from 1985, the cutoff being 1985. Yeah. So they're not the kind of songs that you can just go to iTunes and find. A lot of them are these ones. And we're hoping to put out the EP.
Yeah, we're working on that.
Pretty
actually.
Much play the entire EP next year. So, but we'll be playing it at these
kind
shows.
We're skewing early Bangles and it's exciting and scary because, as Suzanne said, the you have to kind of rely on muscle memory and going, what was I doing? What did I do? And this, the hilarious thing is that, of course, none of us have the EP in digital form, so you can't just throw it on your iPhone. So I literally took a cassette. And this was not the cassette that I got from CBS, you know, when we first put this record out. This is a cassette that somehow someone had recorded from that earlier cassette. This is a second or possibly third generation cassette. Yeah. But then I'm throwing it onto Pro Tools, too, which is just hilarious cross-platforming here. And then I'm emailing it to Demi and Susanna because, like, nobody has this. So well, I need to listen to this song.
I actually recorded it on my phone off of YouTube.
See, this is bad. That's really bad.
Yeah, that's like
that was
nice
very
generation.
Tinny. That was terrible. But.
So we're going to fix this particular issue. But we are really excited about looking at we don't want to give away everything, but we are going to skew to the earlier years, which is very fun and challenging and part in the spirit of the evening.
Just the having you here today, I was feeling pretty inspired with the idea. The minute you announced it, it just rang true. And now listening to you and watching how much passion is just coming out of your pores. I really am appreciative of you coming by today and looking forward to the show on Friday night. It really seems like it's of good purpose.
Absolutely, yeah.
And many
reasons.
I wish you guys the best. And as you've mentioned now in this interview, you're getting back to, quote, your, what do you want to call it, roots?
Yeah.
in a couple of shows, not only these shows this week, but later in January.
And maybe even
and
beyond
maybe
that.
Beyond that. We're having so much fun with the idea that we're kind of approaching upcoming shows as, you know, as a guitar band, you know, as a, you know, back to the garage with us.
Yes.
Well, we can't thank you enough for coming by. You know, we've communicated many times in between your visits here, that this is your home, and we really
Thank
appreciate
you
coming
you.
Out today. We know it's a busy
it's a
week.
Fantastic
for you.
Home.
We love it here.
We like it. We love it here.
You know you're always welcome here, and we consider you a part of our family. It is the Bangles on 88.5 KCSN.